This is The Book and the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
In our last two programs, we featured my 1984 interview with Israeli archaeologist Gabriel Barkai, discussing one of the most important 20th century discoveries in biblical archaeology, the silver amulet scrolls he excavated at a site in Jerusalem called Ketef Hinnom. The two scrolls both were inscribed with the words of the priestly blessing from Numbers 6, and they dated to 600 BC, the time of Jeremiah. It's the oldest biblical text ever discovered. But beyond that, Gabby Barkai, this Jewish scholar, educated thousands of American Christians as a teacher at the American Institute of Holy Land Studies, later known as Jerusalem University College. To find out more about that, I talked with someone who knew him well, John Monson, now a professor of Old Testament and Semitic languages at Trinity International University, is the son of Jim Monson, who also taught at that school in Jerusalem.
Yeah, so I think it was about 1970. We got there in 1968. And what happened in 1970, 71, the American Institute of Holy Land Studies, founded by G. Douglas Young, today run by Oliver Hersey, one of my students, they were really struggling. They were bringing people to the land of the Bible, and they always had local experts teaching, but they realized they had to do something a little more innovative. So my dad developed what was called the short-term program, and eventually they developed an MA program. Gabby Barkai was one of the people that, I think it was actually my father, but it was one of the administrators or teachers at the Institute. He was the only permanent one at the time, but invited Gabby to come in and lecture on both biblical archaeology and on Jerusalem. Okay. So it was 1970. I still remember his VW Beetle that he would drive around in, and he was at the time smoking quite a bit. It was quite fun to watch how far the ashes would go before they dropped. And so then he developed that course on Jerusalem, which became one of the bulwarks of the American Institute of Holy Land Studies and today Jerusalem University College. And the beauty of it was you had Jim Monson teaching the regions of the land and pulling it all together, and also being willing to be, as it were, John the Baptist for major Israeli scholars. So he brought in people like Gabby Barkai, who was just really sort of getting started. Gabby taught a year-long course on Jerusalem. So you could take Hebrew Bible, Old Testament in the first semester, and then Jerusalem in the second semester. Since it was a field trip-based program, generally at the Institute, JUC today, was fantastic, is that he would lead day-long trips all over Jerusalem for that class. And literally, he knew everybody and had all the connections. So you could get into all the places you couldn't normally get in. And you were with, like, the world expert on Jerusalem, emerging world expert on Jerusalem. He was still working on his PhD. And so whether it was coins, numismatics, whether it was pottery, whether it was architecture, whether it was anything, he was encyclopedic. So you'd spend a whole day, I mean, from 7 a.m. till after dark, basically going thematically through parts of Jerusalem, looking at tombs or looking at fortifications or looking at various things, biblical perspectives. I mean, an astounding experience. I have all my notes from those trips when I later was a student of his, you know, in Jerusalem.
Someone has pointed out that Gabby believed the Bible, which I think is maybe a difference between him and a lot of other experts that could have, or maybe did teach at Institute for Holy Land Studies.
Yeah, I think, you know, the way I would frame that is twofold. One, I would frame it as kind of in terms of the disciplines. And I would say that for starters, one should probably think of in the guild as sort of the archaeologists who are, you know, there are a lot of great archaeologists, but many of the archaeologists are more technicians in field archaeology. And Gabby was masterful at that. But many of the archaeologists, I have to be careful what I say, I'm also an archaeologist. Many archaeologists, they sort of mine the Bible for data that, you know, overlaps with their excavations. And maybe it drives even their site location and so forth. But they don't really know the Bible like a full-blown biblical scholar would. Now, the biblical scholars tend to view archaeology as like, well, this confirms the Bible, or this is interesting, you know, illumination. But they don't really engage it in archaeology in a deep, deep level. Now, Gabi Barkai, I think this is a pull quote, was not only a genius, but a person who had the depth like few others in both biblical studies and archaeology. And then you add a third component, like a Venn diagram, and you add the fact that he also gave his life to the city he loved, to Jerusalem. And that trifecta is a one-off. I mean, it's unique. There's nobody like that except maybe Father Vincent back in, back at the turn of the century. So that's the one thing is the disciplines. He had command, full command of several disciplines. The second thing with regards to when it comes to believing the Bible, there's no question Gabi became a little more religious later in his life. He always was immersed in the scriptures and knew a lot of the, Jewish traditions as well. As you know, he was whisked out of the ghetto in Budapest as an infant, whisked away clandestinely with the Torah scroll of his family's synagogue.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and
Wow.
so he was saved as a baby, and so was the Torah scroll. Now, a decade or two ago, they installed that Torah scroll at his local synagogue in Talpiot, where the promenade is in Jerusalem, south of Jerusalem today, near the UN headquarters.
If you've just joined us, we're talking with archaeologist John Monson about his friendship with archaeologist Gabi Barkai, who passed away recently.
I would say this is another element. Okay, so we have the disciplines, but then we've got Gabi as a believer. He occupied that space of being a biblical person. And it makes me almost cry because he was a biblical person, reading the Bible and trying to live according to it. But not in a pedantic way, in a broad strokes kind of way. And that was fueled in part by his being in the real world of the Bible every single minute of the day. And so I would say he was absolutely a believer in God, and he was very much a person of faith who, was at the synagogue, not in a narrow Orthodox way, but in a communal kind of way. And I will say this, that this is another thing really to remember about this dear, dear man. I encounter both with myself and then later with my students, and of course, always with my colleagues. He actually, in a sense, to use Paul's language, provoked us to jealousy because he took the Bible seriously. And many Christians today don't. Let's read what it says and let's understand it on its terms in its world. And therefore, myself, but then my colleagues and later my students, they were inspired by this man's immense respect and love for the scriptures, and yet his unconventional way of living it out. Let's just say he was not a narrow literalist when it comes to the Bible, but he was one who saw the Bible aligning with its context powerfully. And because of a combination of background and immersion in scripture and archaeology, he would talk about God as the Almighty, And so he would say, well, Jehoshaphat built this wall protecting his residence of the Almighty from, the hordes of the East or something. He would speak about the Almighty and this and that. But yeah, he exuded a love of scripture. And I think, honestly, my experience through that, a love of God in his own unique space.
So, how would you describe his impact on American evangelical Christianity because of his interactions with thousands of Bible scholars and archaeologists who came to Jerusalem to study?
I would say his impact on evangelicals, both leaders and, lay people, was profound, and it came through several venues. On the one hand, just pure exposure, becoming eventually the go-to guy for Jerusalem had to have an effect. I mean, you want to know about Jerusalem, you talk to Gabi Barkai. You want to do a documentary on Jerusalem, you talk to Gabi Barkai. There are others out there as well, but I mean, he really was very, very accessible and very, very knowledgeable and passionate. So I would say he had a profound impact both by his accessibility, the depth of his expertise, and even though he wasn't out seeking allies, he had many, many allies in the sense that people who wanted to see the Bible as being, you know, confirmed or at least supported by its context and specifically by archaeology. For example, if you're talking about the Book of Chronicles, you know, oh, people say, well, it's a late book and it's just all pompous, tendentious history that just tries to prove Israelite identity. And he would say, well, then let's look at the archaeology. I mean, the archaeology is aligning with the claims of Chronicles very, very well and the ebb and flow of the kingdoms as reported there. I think many people saw him as a one who was an ally in supporting the veracity of scripture, even though he wouldn't go the distance with them in terms of all of their presuppositions, maybe, and beliefs. So it's very, very interesting that this was a person who was not scared to go there, whereas most people in the guild of archaeology and even biblical studies, and even many of them evangelicals, are scared to go down the path of really owning the alignment of scripture and archaeology. And he was willing to go there. So I think that brought many, many allies in some respect. So his impact is one of documentaries, tremendous amount of scholarship, willingness to speak in most any venue. He was a very accomplished published scholar. He was not quite the powerhouse that some people were, in part because he had so many interests. He had lots of people pulling him in many, many directions. But yeah, I would say the situatedness of a genius who gives his life to Jerusalem, who has a favorable view of the Bible, is going to be fertile ground for influencing evangelicals far and wide. And I think just as an encourager, remarkable man, not a flamboyant person at all, but, you know, able just to sit down and spend time with anybody, see what they're about and help them where they're going and figure out what kind of, you know, interest they had in the Bible and in Jerusalem and to go with them, whichever intellectual journey they were on. I think let's just call him an accessible, very highly accessible, reasonable advocate for the alignment of scripture and archaeology, scripture and its context. That made him a mentor, both directly and indirectly, for many, many people.
We're talking about Gaby Barkai of blessed memory, an archaeologist who touched the lives of thousands who he taught, Jewish students in Israel and American Christian students who went to study in Israel, and others. Gaby Barkai passed away January 11, 2026. He was 81. John Monson, professor of Old Testament and Semitic languages at Trinity International University, has many more stories about his friendship with Gaby Barkai. We'll continue the conversation in our next program. We've collected other stories about Gaby Barkai, and we'll have a link to the story we put together on our website at radioscribe.com as soon as it's posted by Christianity Today. We also have breaking news videos from the Israel Antiquities Authority and other sources on our website, plus information about Artifacts, our biblical archaeology news magazine. And then there's our Turkey trip coming up this June, where we'll follow the footsteps of the Apostle Paul across Turkey from Antioch to Ephesus. We invite you to join us. That information also at radioscribe.com. I'm Gordon Govier. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.